Jesus through the eyes of the beloved physician, Luke. Luke, of course, wrote the Gospel of Luke. The people in the life groups are currently walking through this amazing gospel and addressing some interesting questions. If you're not in a life group, you need to be. The Carlisle Life Group meets this Wednesday night here at 7 p.m. Check us out if you haven't already been invited somewhere. Luke is also said to have written the Book of Acts, which is about the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts of the Apostles, the things that some of the apostles got up to, their acts after Jesus had ascended to heaven and the Holy Spirit had come upon them. The Book of Acts is an exciting book to read because it gives us details of the early church history and what ordinary folks can accomplish when filled with the Spirit of God. Many dynamic Christian accounts are written in detail by Luke, which are an encouragement to us all. If the disciples, when empowered by the Holy Spirit, could be an amazing witness for Jesus, so can we. We have the same Spirit living in us. He wants to guide and empower us today, 2,000 years later. Now, the Book of Acts finishes abruptly. In fact, it's as if it's not meant to end at all. I've heard it said that the Book of Acts doesn't have a finish because the story continues in us. Each person born into the family of God, each person who's filled and empowered by His Spirit from Bible times onwards has a story to tell. Or putting it another way, have accomplished acts for Jesus. The Book of Acts will only be completed, will only find its end when time finishes, when Jesus returns and we all go to heaven. All of us have been called to live for Jesus, to be a witness for Him, and His Spirit equips us to do this well. Well, it's Mother's Day today. Happy Mother's Day to all you mums. And I'm going to do something I've never done before as a pastor. And I know when I say that, some people get a bit concerned. I'm going to share with you the acts of my mum, Julia Warwick. For she is a born-again Christian, Spirit-filled Christian, and her story could be added to the Book of Acts. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, inspire us all to live better lives for You. May our faith be lifted today so we make a way for Your Holy Spirit to reach out to this world through us. Help us to believe for the impossible. Amen. Now, before I get into the acts of my mum, let's have a look at some amazing scriptures. Have you got these, Jordan? And Luke, if I left my glasses, could I have my glasses there? Can you see I've read so far without my glasses? That's pretty good, isn't it? But, you know, so I can chill a little bit more. It's a miracle! Okay, we've got the first scripture up there, Matthew 19, verse 26. Be encouraged by this. And looking at them, Jesus said to them, "With people, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible." Philippians 4, verse 13. "I can do all things through Him who strengthens me." Luke 1, verse 37. "For nothing will be impossible with God." Mark 9, verse 23. "And Jesus said to him, 'All things are possible to him who believes.'" Mark 10, verse 27. "Looking at them, Jesus said, 'With people, it's impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God.'" Matthew 17, verse 20. "And he said to them, 'Truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you.'" Romans 8, verse 31. "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who's against us?" Luke 18, verse 27. But he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Jeremiah 32, verse 17. Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Are you inspired? Yeah, me too. The Word of God does that, doesn't it? It's amazing. Please keep all these wonderful scriptures in mind as I talk about the acts of my mum. Mum would have loved to have studied at university. She certainly had the brains for it. Whenever my brothers and I had academic questions, we always went to mum. She could spell any word as quick as a wink and tackle any maths equation with ease. Unlike Dad. But Mum's childhood was not a pleasant one. It was actually quite horrible. And there was no opportunity for her to enter tertiary education. And so she became a very efficient shorthand secretary. Mum converted to Christianity in her mid-teens. She was 15. After watching an early Billy Graham crusade movie titled The Shadow of the Boomerang at a Brethren church. I remember her saying once that the best part of her week when she first got saved was going to church. It was so much better than her home life. She loved church and she loved Jesus. She married Dad at the young age of 18, and all her life she supported Dad's preaching ministry. Mum never desired to speak from the church pulpit herself. Preaching wasn't her thing. It wasn't her calling. She was very happy, however, sitting amongst a congregation. And all the years Dad pastored a church, she'd always look for some lonely person on a Sunday morning in the congregation and deliberately sit next to them. You know, she never sat in the same place every Sunday like most of you do. She was always sitting somewhere different. Okay, so Mum was very low-key and out of sight in comparison to Dad and my older brother David, who's also a pastor, and myself. But in year 1985, I saw a side to Mum that I'd never seen before. I didn't know it existed, to tell you the truth. The Holy Spirit used my quiet little mum, and I keep saying little mum because she really is little. She's less than 5 foot now. He used my mum in a very powerful way, in a way I'd least expected, and as a result, she earned my full respect. I was in my first year of teaching. I landed a full-time job with the education department, working as a music specialist between Armidale Primary School and Serpentine Primary School. I taught 500 children a week, twice a week, so that was 1,000 heads per week. It was a tough job, particularly in Armidale Primary School. Children normally muck around in music lessons. Who mucked around in their music lessons? Put up your hand. Yeah, we know that. We all know that. But in Armidale, most of them were really naughty children who were mucking around in music lessons. I learnt to be tough in those early years of teaching. It was good training for becoming a pastor. When the going gets tough, the tough get going, they say. Well, I had to get tough and get going. It was a fight for survival. It was sink or swim. So I put in a lot of effort into learning how to manage and teach really naughty children. But there was one class that was particularly bad. It was a year 5-6 class. They were awful. They were a new teacher's nightmare. They were rowdy, they were cheeky, they were rude, all of them. There was not one nice kid amongst all of them. Their classroom teacher's name was Craig, and he was a pretty cruisy guy. He was laid-back kind of fella, and he was way too easy on his naughty class. So when he'd drop them off at my room for a music lesson, they'd be yelling and screaming and carrying on even before I got them into the music room. One day, they were so naughty, I marched them straight back to their classroom and told Craig that they needed to be better behaved when he left them for me to teach. Actually, I did that because the old teacher next door felt really sorry for me and she told me that I should do that. So I was a new teacher that did what she told me. I managed to control them, but it took everything I had. They exhausted me. Well, it was April of 1985, and this year 5-6 class had already chewed through two scripture teachers. The last scripture teacher had become so angry with the class that he told them all that their behavior was appalling and they were all going to end up in hell. The children thought it was hilarious. But Craig, the classroom teacher, was not impressed with this scripture teacher's attitude. And I don't blame him. It wasn't a good witness at all, was it? So the search was on to find another scripture teacher to face the classroom from hell. It just so happened that the woman who organized scripture teacher in our district was a member of Dad's church in Armidale. And she desperately started asking her pool of scripture teachers if they could take on an extra class. As a result, I came home one day to my mum telling me that she was going to take on another scripture class in Armidale Primary School. She already did scriptures in a number of other schools. As soon as she started talking about it, I became concerned. What class are you going to teach, mum? Oh, it's a year 5-6 class. There's been a few problems, apparently. I stood there looking at my little mum thinking, those awful brats, they're going to chew her up and spit her out. I had this mental picture of my mum tied to a chair and her mouth gagged and scripture stickers stuck all over her face while the children ran around rampantly. I tried very hard not to show my concern because I didn't want mum to start worrying, but I did say, so what activities are you going to do with them, mum? And she happily showed me her teaching program. In the meantime, I was subtly attempting to give her teaching tips on good classroom management. She had no idea of how fearful I was for her. Well, the day came round quickly for her to teach the year 5-6 class. She got up early that morning to pray for her class. By the way, I believe that's why my son Ryan is still alive today, because Nana got up early to pray for him. Well, she prayed for her scripture classes too. Then off she went, loaded up with little rewards for good behaviour, such as her little smelly scratchy stickers. Who can remember those little smelly scratchy stickers? I think they're like a jelly bean and you scratch them and you could smell them. Her colourful erasers and her pencils with scriptures on. Mum had spent the evening beforehand colouring pictures to use as teaching aids for the Bible story she was going to tell. I prayed hard for my mum. It went something like this. Oh, Lord, please protect my mum. Let the worst of the children be away today, and every day she teaches scripture. For her protection, please make sure that Craig stays in the classroom the whole time Mum is there teaching. Amen. That wasn't really a prayer of faith, was it? When I got home from work that day, I was eager to find out how she went, and I tried hard not to make it look obvious I was expecting failure. How were the year 5-6 class today, Mum? Oh, they were all right, a little boisterous, but they were all right. Mum would never say when children were bad. I learnt this later when I had my own children and Mum would babysit for me. I knew Ryan, Elise and Dinah weren't always the easiest children to babysit. They could be very naughty at times, but she never would admit it. She'd say, they were noisy today. They were loud, they were playful even, but she wouldn't say they were rotten little kids who needed a smack. That was Mum. She was the same with this year 5-6 class. She never disclosed their sinful, revolting behaviour. She always found a positive way to describe them. I was impressed. She spoke well of them, and they hadn't broken her spirit yet. That was good. That was a good start. Well, it was another 2 weeks before some of the cheeky children in the 5-6 class approached me when I was on playground duty. Miss Warwick, they said, is Mrs. Warwick, our scripture teacher, your mum? Oh no, I thought, here it comes. They're going to say something horrible about my mum, and my life is about to get harder as their music teacher. Yes, I said, Mrs. Warwick is my mum. Oh, cool. We really like her. She's great. And off they went. I was left standing watching them run off thinking, did I just hear right? They like my mum and they think she's great. That's interesting. It was a week or so later that Craig, their teacher, approached me in the staff room and said, hey, your mum is a great scripture teacher. The kids love her. She's like their nana. She's got them all under her control, listening to her stories. She's really good at what she does. She should have been a teacher. Actually, I like listening to her stories too. I was dumbfounded and proud, all rolled into one. I thought, wow, go mum. My mum stayed with that year 5-6 class right through to the end of the year. Her relationship with the children and the teacher continued to grow the more time she spent with them. In fact, my relationship grew and greatly improved with those children too. And somehow, I believe it was because of the spiritual input my mum had with them during her scripture teaching. At the end of the year, Craig, the classroom teacher, announced that he was leaving Armidale Primary School to take up a country position further south. But before he left Armidale, this non-Christian teacher, who'd been so impressed with Mum's scripture teaching, decided to visit Mum's church one Sunday morning with his wife. Dad was preaching that morning, and Craig put up his hand to receive Christ. Isn't that cool? I didn't invite him. Mum did, the scripture teacher. We know how uncool scripture teachers can be. God had already prepared Craig's heart as a result of my mum's ministry. She was just a little humble scripture teacher full of the love of God for those very naughty children. And God worked a miracle that year in that classroom as a result of the Holy Spirit working in and through Mum. When you are empowered by the Holy Spirit, miracles happen because anything is possible. You can do anything through Him who strengthens you. You can. You can continue the book of Acts with your Acts empowered by the Holy Spirit. You might feel that you're not accomplishing much, you're not a great preacher, you're not a great evangelist, you can't teach, but just trust God in the seemingly little things. Because to God, the little things are the big things. Remember the story of the widow and her mite? She put it into the offering? That's who Jesus noticed. It wasn't much, but he noticed a heart, and it was a heart filled with faith because she was giving God everything. All of us as Christians have a purpose in Him. And I'm glad you gave that word this morning because this is along the lines. It's along the lines of what I'm saying. We have lives to live. Live your life empowered by the Spirit of God. Sometimes we're looking for another story, another circumstance. God says, look at where you are now and empower yourself by His Holy Spirit. Serve Jesus in the circumstance you're in right now. Ask God to use you on a daily basis to bless those around you who don't know Him. As you know, my mum is now in a nursing home. She doesn't recognize me anymore. She can't feed herself and she can't really speak too much. She has dementia. But even in the nursing home, my mum has made an impression. The carers love her. They really do. Have a look at this picture. Thanks, Jordan. My mum's African carers buy her clothes and jewellery and dress her up like an African. Have a look at that. Isn't that beautiful? She would never wear a hat like that, would she, Dad? She never wore those colours, and she certainly never wore that kind of jewellery, and I never saw makeup on my mum's face like that. That's pretty. She looks like a movie star, doesn't she? She looks beautiful. The African care, actually, yesterday, I went to buy mum a jumper for Mother's Day, and you know what I found myself doing? I was thinking, what would the African girls want for mum? I was. They're just so cool with their clothes. The African carers call her Mama, and they blow her kisses. Hi, Mama. And Mum kind of lifts her hand like the Queen and waves to them. And they blow her kisses. They are so beautiful. They are so loving towards her. Dad's had another carer, an Indian carer, come up to him and say that Mum's his favourite, hasn't he, Dad? An Indian man, he just loves Mum. I kind of think it's the Holy Spirit in Mum who's given her this favour. There was one story, probably shouldn't be recorded this one, but there was one story where one of the carers, the African carers, was quite sick and she started throwing up in Mum's toilet. And apparently Mum came up to her and she started to pat and stroke her back. Dementia people don't do that. They don't understand what's going on. But somehow the spirit in Mum wanted to comfort this lady that was really, really sick. And that really touched this carer's heart. And by the way, these carers, they're not caring in a Christian nursing home, but they are Christian. So Mum has got Christian carers. That's pretty cool. One of them would sit and read the Bible to my mum. And when the Bible goes missing, as everything goes missing in a dementia home, she would sit and sing songs to my mum, Christian songs. So that's pretty cool, isn't it? So, but the Spirit of God is with her and in her, even though she's in the way that she is. Let me just tell you that if you're a Christian, the same Holy Spirit is working in you. Allow these scriptures to encourage you and motivate you to do acts for the King this week. Just simple acts, but allow the Holy Spirit to work through you. Do you know, I'm going to tell this story. I wasn't going to, but I'm letting them all know this morning, Dad. There was someone that came into the nursing home that had a cultish view, and it wasn't a healthy call. I'm not going to say what it is, but it wasn't good. Mum somehow sensed something in this person, and she went straight up to them and she started to speak in tongues at the person's face. Mum's never done that in her life, has she, Dad? She's not a confronting kind of person, but the spirit in her realised that this person, there's something wrong going on inside this person, and this person had to leave the nursing home. He wasn't a part of the nursing home, he was a visitor, and he left because Mum, the spirit in Mum, sent something there. I think that's pretty cool. I really, really do. God has worked through the life of my mum. And one day in heaven, we're going to get to celebrate that together. And it's the same with you. You know, there's a lot of things that you might do that no one sees, but God sees. God's there. He sees everything. He's no man's debtor. And I believe everything's recorded. Everything good is recorded that you do, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Because it's the acts of you. And it's every bit as important as those early disciples. Let's read these scriptures one more time. Matthew 19, verse 26. And think about it and let it be an encouragement to you. And looking at them, Jesus is looking at you right now. Jesus said to you, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Philippians 4, verse 13, and I'm going to change the words a bit on this. You can do all things through him who strengthens you. Luke 1 verse 37, for nothing will be impossible with God. Mark 9 verse 23, and Jesus said to him, all things are possible to him who believes. Mark 10 verse 27, looking at them, Jesus said, with people it's impossible, but not with God, for all things are possible with God. Matthew 17 verse 20, and he said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will be moved, and nothing will be impossible for you. Romans 8 verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? Luke 18 verse 27, but he said, the things that are impossible with people are possible with God. Jeremiah 32 verse 17, ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. Nothing is too difficult for you. Hallelujah, nothing. There is no healing too difficult for Jesus. Hallelujah. If you want to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to do acts for Jesus this week, please stand where you are so I can pray for you. Stand if you want to be empowered. We're going to pray because this is a word from the Lord today. Heavenly Father, here we are standing for you. And as we do, we are showing you our intent, our determination, our resolve to be filled with your Spirit so that we can perform acts of love and grace for your kingdom. Oh Lord, let your Spirit fill this congregation as I stretch out my hand right now. I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill this congregation afresh. Help us to receive that which you freely give. Give us all faith to believe for the seemingly impossible. Make us to see without doubt that if you're for us, who can be against us? So, Father, we just receive your Holy Spirit right now, and we just thank you for the circumstances we're in right now, even the difficult ones, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And even through the hard circumstances, we choose to worship and praise your holy name. We choose to stand in faith in the hard, difficult circumstances. And Lord, we will use the giftings that you have given us to spread your gospel, to shine Jesus, and to just give love and grace to this dark and dying world. Lord, use this congregation this week, I pray, in your precious name. Amen. 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 Receive what has been prayed today. Will the musos come up? We're going to sing one more song, and then we're going to have some nice lunch together. Hallelujah.